Well, hello there. Welcome to Galaxy Moonbeam Nightsight. We are the retro talk program for nostalgia and baby boomer stuff right here on the Galaxy Nostalgia Network. I'm Smitty.
I'm Mike.
And we're happy to have you on our show today and back for another fun session here with you. Bring back some memories of a simpler time. And certainly, Mike, I don't think there was much more of a simpler time than when we were in school, in elementary school, even in the higher grades. But we were thinking back to those days and thinking back of a lot of the good memories, a lot of the lunchtime memories, a lot of the fun memories that we would have from back then, Mike. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. I think probably one of the big areas that we all remember that was probably the most fun and most enjoyable for most of us was lunchtime. There's a lot to talk about there. What do you remember about lunchtime at school?
Well, you learned a very important lesson in how the universe works, and that's time doesn't fly in some cases.
Yeah.
And we'd see the little clicker clock, all the schools, the arms, they would click.
They'd click off every minute.
It'd be about 11:58, maybe 11:58 and 30 seconds, and suddenly it would go to 11:59 click. Well, it was an eternity for that clock to go from 11:59 to 12. And then when 12 came around, the bells would ring and all pandemonium would break out.
Oh, yeah.
And all those wondrous, odorous odors from the cloakroom, as they used to be called.
Yeah.
That's where the kids would keep their lunches.
Yeah.
Now, some kids had lunch boxes and other kids had sack lunches. There was a couple of kids and, you know, they had thermoses. We can talk about thermoses.
Yeah.
Because thermoses would shatter, they would break.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you dropped them on the way or getting out of the station wagon to get into the school in the morning.
Yeah.
But the smells of the lunches.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll ever forget that, especially my friends whose parents would make salami sandwiches.
Oh, yes.
We had some Greek dishes that were pretty pungent.
Yeah.
Some olives and things, but
there
would be an aroma there.
Oh, there
and
would
you'd
be.
You'd line up and you'd go grab your lunch and your jacket if it was a cold day and off to the playground or the eating area.
Yeah, the benches,
The benches next to the playground. Off you went. And some kids ate slow and other kids ate fast. And the ones that ate fast, they were the jocks or the girls that would go and they would have, the teacher would have a record player going at lunchtime and play music. You know, sometimes it was German folk songs. Other times, you know, it could have been the Mighty Mouse theme. I don't know. I can't remember that part. But it was almost a festival time, the lunch break of the day. You catch up with your friends. You didn't get in trouble if you were talking to your neighbor over a cheese sandwich. You got to talk to maybe some other kids from another class that you never really had interaction with. I would catch up with my brother, who was in a class a year behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd sit there with your friends, you'd plan the weekend or talk about the teacher. And then when you were done with lunch, you'd go out and do some physical activity, which is interesting enough on these hot, smoggy days in Los Angeles in the 1960s. You know, I started kindergarten in 1959.
Yeah.
I just found the class picture.
Wow.
And I'm in it. And I look quite frightened because I don't know, Smitty, but this is a rather unpleasant memory. The first day of school, I can remember my mom taking me to the first day of school and how I wanted to hide or not have her abandon me in that class. I can remember that. Few things I can remember back 67 years ago. No, 60 some odd years ago. I remember my kindergarten teacher with a lead pencil poking holes in the top of the wax milk cartons that each kid would get one of.
That's right.
With a lead pencil to poke the hole so the straw would fit. I remember that. I remember the jungle gym.
Sure.
And coming in after nutrition with sand all over and sand in your shoes. But one of the most vivid memories was nutrition. We had to talk about the lunch hour, but you had to have nutrition. That was maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours after you started school. But nutrition was a time you'd have a certain number of minutes. You could grab a snack. Remember nutrition was that, or you could stay in the class, I think, if you wanted to.
I think so,
Mike. Did you have nutrition down here?
No, you know, but I do remember.
A recess, they call it.
Like a recess. I remember when I was in kindergarten that there would be like a nutrition break, and they would serve us, as I recall, it was some really good tasting orange juice. Or it wasn't juice. It was like some sort of an orange drink.
It was drink.
It was drink.
Not to be confused with juice.
Exactly. It was drink.
You'll notice that when you go in the juice aisle at Albertsons. There's concentrate.
Contains 2% juice. Yeah.
The 100% juice is always more money, but I don't remember getting real juice. We would get Welch's grape juice.
Okay. This was some sort of an orange.
But it was a drink.
Drink. Yeah, exactly. And they would serve it, as I recall, with graham crackers.
Okay.
And it just tasted so good. Yeah. That's a memory that will not go away. And that was our nutrition break, probably about maybe 10 in the morning, something like that. And then, as I recall, then later on in the day, there was some kind of a lunch break. You know, when you'd go out in the playground and play. And we used to have these. Mike, do you remember those industrial-looking tricycles in kindergarten, maybe even first grade?
Yeah,
they looked like they were made out of cast aluminum.
Well, you know, funny you mentioned that, Smitty, because everything I remember about my elementary school was constructed during the Depression, 1929, and to this day, it's probably one of the few schools in the LA City Unified School District that is still completely standing. The earthquake came, not a chip. They said it would cost so much to tear it down, so they kept it.
That's interesting.
When you talk about industrial, I recall in elementary school in the 60s, just about everything was industrial.
Yeah.
But you mentioned the little tricycles and circle sock ball, these huge rubber balls from Voigt.
Oh, I remember those.
You get the little tiny small ones for handball.
Yeah.
And you get these big, giant beach ball-sized ones for circle sock ball.
Yeah.
Then there was hit pin kickball. These were little wooden pins that would go on each of the three bases. And the kid would kick this ball, and all the players in the outfield, the defensive players, have to knock the pins down before he got to home base.
Interesting.
Now, that was lunchtime.
Wow.
But, you know, lunchtime, did you swap lunch items?
I think once in a while we did. You'd be sitting next to your friend, and they'd pop open their lunchbox. You'd pop open your box. Hey, what do you got for lunch today?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, you want to trade? I'll trade you my peanut butter and jelly sandwich for your salami sandwich.
Well, make little trades, little side deals.
Yeah, side deals.
And I always liked it because, the coin of the realm. In elementary school, the coin of the realm was the kid who had Hostess Twinkies or Hostess Cupcakes. There was one that came out called Hostess Ding Dong.
Oh, yeah. Anything Hostess.
Yeah.
They were at the top of the heap.
Yeah. If it was Hostess, I would have an interest in a trade situation or money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow,
You could buy a Twinkie for a nickel.
Yeah.
That was a deal, but everything was cream-filled, and if somebody wanted to trade a Hostess Twinkie for something, hey, fine, because you had sack lunches, and they 4 hours later, they were great when they got made at 6:30 in the morning, but by 12 o'clock, they had altered their state, so to speak. The bread would get mushy. Remember the bread? And the mayonnaise would go through, and the bread would get soggy.
The slice of tomato would get the bread soggy, and it was like, why am I even dealing with this?
Or the apples that Mom would cut up, they weren't. Apples, think they were brown things.
They were brown things. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they didn't taste like apples. A part of it did, but then it's like, well, this is not interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of, and it was worse when you seemed to have kind of the same lunch every day or a very similar lunch every day. That's when trading things with your friends became much more important.
Yeah, trading things some kids might abandon their lunch completely. We had a cafeteria, a very small cafeteria in our elementary school, and my parents were anti-cafeteria. They didn't want to shell out the 25 cents. But it was a conveyor belt. It was a cafeteria, and there were limited items of limited quality, of limited taste, but of the best part at limited price, but I think a quarter would get you a small bag of Laura Scudder's potato chips and either a hamburger or a hot dog, and they were plain. You think McDonald's are plain? Elementary school cafeteria, LA Unified School District food is very basic. They would maybe put a half a spoon of ketchup on a hamburger.
Maybe if you were lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, and then if the cafeteria lady, she was good friends with my mom, so I always got two extra little packets of mustard for my hot dog.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. You were privileged.
Yeah, because it didn't taste like a hot dog, and you wanted it to get as close to a mustard dog so you could finish it.
Yeah.
And they, but the schools were known, and I've seen this in some Facebook posts, schools were known for their bakery goods.
Mm-hmm.
L.A. Unified School District had the best coffee cake. It was in a national competition.
Wow.
It was patented, the ingredients for this coffee cake. And to this day, Smitty, they are still using it. And I was buying that coffee cake, those squares, for a dime when I was, wow, in junior high school in 1965. It was, wow, cinnamon, buttery, pound cake, something.
Oh, that sounds
with a nice,
good,
crusty top. And you talk about never forgetting a favorite food. That,
yeah,
that one. But you know, you get that cafeteria, and that was a thing, because maybe my folks would plop down the 25 cents every 2 weeks on a Friday. But coming into school, you could smell that cafeteria food being baked or cooked in the morning. It made you so hungry,
yeah,
especially on Wednesday. Wednesday was chili beans.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So Wednesdays, there was quite a fragrancy.
Yeah.
Going and coming.
Going and coming, yeah. I can well imagine. Well, Mike, you're talking about the baked goods. Down here in San Diego, when I was going to school, they had the peanut butter chews. It was almost like a little, it was like flat. Maybe it was about 3/4 of an inch thick or so. And it was kind of like a little, how can I describe it? Kind of like a cake, like a soft cake, like almost like a cookie consistency. They would cut them in little squares. I've seen the recipe for this online, by the way. They're called elementary school peanut butter chews. They were so good. And I think they cost about a dime. I remember milk cost 7 cents.
Yeah.
Milk cost 7 cents. Milk or chocolate milk cost 7 cents. And they had these little peanut butter squares, and I used to love those things. I can't remember why, Mike, but there was a period of time when I took my lunch to school, to elementary school. Then there was a period of time when I would get lunch at school,
yeah,
in the cafeteria. I remember one particular dish. It didn't look very appealing, but it actually was pretty good. It was a scoop of mashed potatoes. And there was a scoop of something that I guess was like chipped beef.
Yeah.
It didn't look very good, but it tasted good. And they'd give you that with maybe some vegetables and maybe a piece of fruit or something and maybe one of those peanut butter chews and your little carton of milk or chocolate milk. And as I recall, we had a card. I guess they would give us a card every week that they would punch every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And they would punch it, and maybe it was part of a school lunch program. I honestly can't,
yeah,
remember.
That does bring back. I think,
yeah,
that's for the kids whose parents would pay in advance.
That could be. That could have been.
For a month or,
yeah,
2 weeks of cafeteria, and you have a card.
You have a card, exactly. Yeah.
No card, no food.
Right, exactly. But it was really, those peanut butter chews were fantastic. I used to love those. That coffee cake sounds fantastic.
Yeah, though. And it's apparently still available.
That's crazy.
I don't know if there is a book, or there should be a book, if not more books, on the guidebook to elementary or public school baking and cooking.
Yeah.
Because these ladies, and they were very dedicated.
They were.
You would go through school with the same cafeteria, same yard aides. They're usually somebody's mom,
mm-hmm,
or a volunteer. Same principal, Mrs. Truman. I remember my teachers' names, what they looked,
yeah,
like, who, what teachers were married, what teachers weren't. And then occasionally the teachers would come out at lunchtime,
mm-hmm,
and you felt a little uncomfortable, like, you're in my personal space now. I got to deal with you for 5 hours a day. Let me eat my bologna sandwich and my ho-ho.
Yeah.
Go away.
Yeah.
But in those times, in those days in the 60s, like every teacher I ever remember smoked cigarettes. And they even had a smoking lounge. And the teachers would pack the smoking lounge, you know, get done with 2 hours, these little brats, and the first thing I want to do is fire up. And they would come in and out as we're going down the hall, coming back to class, and it was just this smoke-filled, it was like a dive. You couldn't see it looks like her. Yeah, she's big enough to be her. I don't know, there's too much smoke. Let's get out of here, I'm choking. But it was the nicotine, and I think they all smoked.
They all smoked, Mike, and I remember when I was in elementary school, for some reason, they took us into the teacher's lounge, into the smoking lounge. Now, there was nobody there. This was during a class. I can't remember why we went in there. For some reason, we went in there. And when you walked in there, and I can still remember this very, very vividly, it smelled like a smoke-filled room.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no smoke, but it smelled of it. And going, wow, that's kind of interesting. And, you know, I knew what smoking was. I'm going, wow, you mean actually these teachers smoke?
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy, you know?
Well, it was almost it was demoralizing almost because, you know, when you in public school in the 60s, you looked up to your teacher,
yeah.
unless the teacher was a total loser waiting for retirement or something. But you looked up. They were somebody that weren't the ordinary. They were not yeah. your parents. I had a teacher, Mr. Hamilton. Every male teacher I had wore suits and ties every day in class.
Oh, sure.
Suits, not sport coats, suits. But, you know, it's like, well, my dad smokes, and my mom smokes, and all my uncles smoke, and Mr. Hamilton smokes Viceroy's, too. Well, yeah. you know, he's not such a big guy, after all. Yeah, everybody smoked.
Everybody smoked?
Bing Crosby was pitching Camels as the doctor's best friend or something
That's
like
right,
that.
That's right, yeah, watching your T-zone, yeah. your throat zone, yeah.
But I always admired, or I always respected, rather than, I admired and respected the kids who walked home for lunch. Now, were you in a school where the kid, if he lived close enough, he or she could walk home and eat their lunch?
As I recall, it was, Mike, and of course, I lived just far away that it didn't. That it wasn't practical. Yeah. It wasn't possible for me. As I do recall, there were some kids that would leave campus to go yeah. home and have lunch, as I recall. But there were very few. Pretty much most all the kids would just stay on campus and have their lunch.
Well, in the third grade, me and my trusted friend, a fellow by the name of David Briegel, we walked off campus, which you probably weren't supposed to do in the 60s, being in the third grade, but there was a taco stand on the main boulevard, four blocks away, called the Taco Treat.
Oh.
And we each had 50 cents, so we got deep-fried burritos. And unfortunately, our teacher, that was one of the days, I guess she was took the nicotine patch, or no, they weren't. No, before the nicotine patch. That was the day she probably gave the lungs a break and didn't go to the smoking lounge. She went out and walked around the playground and saw Mike Bragg and David Briegel heading down Avenue 50 to our Taco Treat. And we were busted. There's no way out of it. And come back from lunch, and I'm calling your parents. You left the school. You're not supposed to. So I guess you could leave campus. But most of us, you know, we were fenced in.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to play kickball or something afterwards. But it's just a time to chill. And wondering what the afternoon would hold, Smitty. And
that's right.
We're going to try a retromercial. And when we get done with the retromercial, we're going to give you a few ideas of what we dealt with coming back from lunchtime.
That's right.
In school.
That's right. Let's see what awaits us after this retro commercial.
Yeah, don't go away. We'll be right back.
We'll be right
Check
back.
It out.
Eskimo pie, Eskimo pie, Eskimo pie.
Chocolate-coated ice cream treat.
Eskimo pie, more fun than a flight to the sky.
Flavor that can't be beat.
So pure and good, a wholesome treat.
A treat.
For a party, a dessert, or a snack pie. Eskimo pie in Mandy Family Pack.
Everybody knows them. Everybody loves them. Eskimo Pie, the original chocolate-covered ice cream bar. So easy to eat, a delightful treat. Rich, frosty chocolate coating around creamy, smooth vanilla ice cream. That's Eskimo Pie, the nutritious, happy way to spark up dessert time, party, snack time, anytime. And now, Eskimo Pie is at your neighborhood store in handy family packs. Easy to keep in your refrigerator. Eskimo Pie, finest quality, finest flavor. You'll love them. Get Eskimo Pie at your favorite store today.
Buy Eskimo Pie in the handy family pack. Eskimo Pie, Eskimo Pie.
Oh, I can only imagine how not that commercial would play nowadays, Smitty.
Oh, yeah.
But I do remember the Eskimo Pies. I remember the commercials.
Sure,
Thrifty Drugstore had them right at the door,
yeah.
And they were the best.
They were.
The chocolate was thing. There was also a Sidewalk Sundae.
There was. I remember the
Sidewalk
Sundae.
I think they were bitter competitors with the Eskimo Pie people.
Yeah.
But those were sure good. A nice vanilla. A Carnation had the best vanilla with the chocolate bars.
Oh, yeah, Carnation.
I would go to Disneyland just to get the Carnation bars from the street vendor.
Yeah, the Carnation bars were just tasty. They were so good.
Oh. Dreams of Disneyland. Another fond memory of idle hours at the lunch table at school. But as we pick up here, you're back on Galaxy Moonbeam Night Sight. And the subject is lunchtime at school. And the hours moving up to the lunchtime and those incredibly boring hours, the 2 or 3 hours right after lunchtime when the bell would ring and you'd put your brown paper bag in the trash can, you'd latch up your Daniel Boone lunchbox, you'd put the cap tightly on your thermos and head back to class, wondering, what am I going to be doing for the next 2 hours of my life?
Yes.
Well, occasionally, maybe, you know, every couple of weeks or so, a choice event would occur in your young life. That would be walking in your class. The lights are off. the projector's here, and there's a reel on the projector that's as big as the TV screen in our living room. Oh, this is going to be great, Smitty. There's a 40-minute film, 16 millimeters of bliss.
That's right.
In a dark room, and it's cool. And you could put your head down, too.
Yeah.
And learn all about the Amazon River.
That's right. Nobody would see you here. That was known as going from carb shock to classroom nirvana.
Yeah. Yeah. From baloney boredom to ultra bliss. Follow your bliss. And whatever, it didn't even matter. And the film itself was going to be probably been produced around the late 40s.
Yeah.
Some of them late 30s, 1930s.
Yeah, some of them were very old.
These were used over and over again. And they were the property of the school district, so... A teacher would put a film on. Now, there were smaller reels, 10, 15-minute ones. They usually had to do with science or health.
Sort of, the life of the iguana.
Yeah. You cut your finger, and 3 days later, there's yellow stuff leaking out of it, and your fingernail fell off. And here's what you must do.
Yeah, and there's a colony of bacteria living there, and...
But you get the big boys. You get the big reels. I'm talking about the industrial strength reel. You're going to be cruising for an hour.
Easily.
You're going to go in and out of sleep. And maybe sneak a library book because your head's down, you're reading your book. Hopefully you don't get caught, and the room's dark, and there's no hassle. And usually everybody's so zoned out after the film that it's just, well, here's your homework, and, well, we have a half an hour to go before that 3 o'clock bell rings. But just having the second best thing to having the big reel on the projector was art day or art morning.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the third Friday of every month was art. And those were the paints. What were the paints made of? It was water and powder.
It was called tempera.
Tempera.
Tempera paint. Yes. And that smelled really good. Yeah. The paint.
Not the kind at the Japanese restaurant.
No. But remember
tempera,
the.
Not tempura.
Yeah, okay. Tempera. Tempera.
I get it.
And it smelled really good. The paint smelled really good.
And it mixed so thickly.
We'll talk about smells also because it's very important. But I remember the tempera paint was just so neat. It was thick. And you'd dip the brush, and it would just flow.
It would flow.
The brush would just flow, and it smelled so good.
Oh, that smell. Yeah. Back to the projector. The projectors had a smell.
They did.
Of a fire about to occur.
Yes.
Or cord burning.
Overheated
film media.
Overheated film media. Acetate. And all the dust on top of the projection lamp was about ready to ignite.
And the speaker would come off, and the teacher would take the speaker, it was attached to a cord, and carry it off to a corner of the room or somewhere. And if you were the poor kid that was sitting at the desks there where that speaker was placed, you might have hearing issues for the next day
because those
were loud, high fidelity. It was like a jukebox sound.
Exactly. And the announcer was some radio announcer, and here is the Amazon forest, and look at all the wildlife that is just some huge voice,
fires destroy things like... Yeah. Here, this photo here of this apartment. Somebody was smoking in bed, but they're not anymore because they're dead. it was weird. It was different things. LA City Fire Department put out a series of terrifying films.
Yeah.
And they were very well produced, but they're on YouTube to this day. Just go to LA City Fire Department training.
Wow, okay.
And all these dreadful, horrible situations involving fires, traffic accidents, whatever. But you'd pay attention to those. But we're taking a jungle cruise down the Amazon.
Yeah.
Okay. I gotta catch up on my nap. combat's on tonight, and Mikhail's Navy's right after.
Yeah.
So I gotta get my sleep.
Yeah, I gotta get my sleep because I gotta be awake for those.
I won't be going to the Amazon soon.
Yeah, that's important. Yeah.
But I think we did a show earlier. Earlier for us is 2 years ago, but we did cover the smells of things, but there were certain smells in the school.
There were certain smells.
You mentioned industrial quality items.
Yes.
The restrooms were industrial quality because they were all tile.
They were tile.
All tile and porcelain.
Yeah.
And all the hardware then were all stainless steel. The soap dispenser. Do you remember the soap in the schools?
Sure
how it smelled like a school soap dispenser.
Yes.
It had a smell, unlike any other soap smell.
It was a powdered soap, and
powder.
It was pink.
Yeah.
And it was pink, and it would lather up, and you'd wash your hands and whatever. But, Mike, I think one of the most well-remembered smells from the era when we were kids was the smell of the mimeographed paper.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Now, for those of you who are young and are not familiar with that, The mimeograph was basically how they used to copy. They would copy whatever it was, an instruction.
That was the standard for copies.
Exactly. And it was, as I recall, it was a machine with a hand crank.
And like a printing press.
Like a printing press. Yeah. And it used a fluid, and it would print everything out in a blue ink. Now, when you had in front of you a sheet that had just been run through the mimeograph machine maybe earlier that morning, and you put it up to your face and you smelled it, it just smelled so good. I can't describe the smell, Mike. Is there any way to really it was sort of a chemical smell, but it smelled so good.
Well, we were talking about this before the show, trying to describe the smell. There was almost like tasting wine. There was a hint of alcohol.
Yeah.
With a slight suggestion of ether and a very very noxious essence of clove.
Yeah.
But it was hard to describe, but you'll never forget the smell of it, because we were talking earlier when we put the show together. Here comes the teacher, and these copies, it might be your homework assignment or a quiz.
Right.
But she just got them at lunchtime, and everybody's back in class. She's been in the mimeograph room, or he, and these stacks, the front of each desk, each row, got a certain number of these copies, mm-hmm. and they were still warm and damp from being on the mimeograph machine. And the teacher just said, go ahead, and each row leader passed them back, and each kid would take one and hand it over their shoulder. You never turned around, especially for girls.
Exactly. No.
You just hold it back over your shoulder, and that kid would grab one, and then silence would permeate the room, with the only sound being the sound of sniffing. And you had those papers in the noses of every kid in that room, and I will never forget that smell. I can't describe it, but I'll never forget it.
Yeah, it's hard to describe, Mike, but it's just smelled so – and every kid would hold that paper up to their nose, and it would just smell so good.
I forgot the movie that showed that in. Was it Ferris Bueller's Day Off or Fast Times at Ridgemont High? But there's the teacher in the school throwing the mimeographs, and each kid is – they're whiffing on that thing as it's going back behind the person behind you. But, that smell – the smell of – from the dedicated janitorial folks.
Right.
There was a certain – like a dust. They would dust the hallway floors with some type of dusting agent.
It was called a sweeping compound.
Sweeping,
and
that's it.
And what it was, Mike, it was almost like sawdust.
Yeah.
But it had like an oil in it.
It had an oil.
And that smelled really good. Yeah. When I went into the third grade, the elementary school, they still had the old building, which I'm surprised you mentioned earlier that your original elementary school is still standing, because here in California, being earthquake country, they tear all these old buildings down. So that's neat to hear that. Yeah. This old building got torn down back in the 70s, and it had the wooden floors. And I remember after school, the janitor would come by, they would pour this sweeping compound, and it smelled so good. It smelled almost like a pine smell.
A pine smell. Yeah. And the cleaners in the bathroom and the restrooms had the same piney, sanitized. The paper towels smelled a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
The paper towels in the restrooms and other smells. Very few can ever forget the smell of the Voigt rubber, the basketballs and the kickballs and the handballs. It was a rubber. It was a comfort. It was a secure. It was a safe smell. Yeah. It smelled like school.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all of those smells combined together, and you knew you were safe. It was school.
How about blacktop out in the playground on a real hot day?
That smelled too. Yeah, and especially Mike at the beginning of the school year when they had just resurfaced the blacktop, that had a smell sort of like a petroleum-based smell or whatever. That also was not unpleasant. It smells good out here.
Yeah, they would use real tar in tar
real
pots,
tar.
And they'd surface. A lot of times they'd have chunks of tar left over that didn't go in the boiler. And we'd pick them up, and believe it or not, we'd chew them like gum.
We'd chew them. I remember that. I remember chewing that. Yeah. There'd be bits of it, I guess, would harden. You'd break off a little chunk and just chew on it.
Rocks and chew on it, and that oil. And pull your teeth out, but we would chew it.
Yeah, I remember that.
I knew a couple of teachers that chewed. Actually, I think it was a teacher that showed us, when we were poor in the Depression, this is what we used for gum.
Wow.
But yes, those smells, the smell of the tar. The smell of the playground on a rainy day.
That smells.
And the grass around
grass,
the school.
Yeah, the grass, the
how
dirt.
How safe it
yeah.
felt and how school feeling it felt.
Yeah, just sort of a comforting time period, for that. What wonderful memories, Mike. We could probably go on for hours talking about this, but the clock is telling us it's about time to end our show for today. But we want to thank you so much for joining us here on Galaxy Moonbeam Nightsight on the Galaxy Nostalgia Network. Send us an email if you've got memories of being in school and smelling all those wonderful things. You can email us at galaxymoonbeamnightsight@gmail.com, galaxymoonbeamnightsight@gmail.com. Our website is galaxymoonbeamnightsight.com. Don't forget you can listen to all of our over 250 programs that we've done on iTunes, on Mixcloud, on Google Podcast, and I'm sure other podcast aggregators that are out there. And don't forget, for our listeners in East Texas, in Longview, Texas, radio station KFRO, AM 1370, we're on every Sunday evening from 9 to midnight Central Time. And that's all the time we have on our show today. We thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, I'm Smitty.
I'm Mike.
And thank you for joining us on Galaxy Moonbeam Nightsight on the Galaxy Nostalgia Network.
This is the Galaxy Nostalgia Network.